Pascal. They were deeply disappointed when the split came, and there was no positive answer from Washington, as Prince Saud put it. But U.S. is fastly making up for that by backing the Somalians now. Washington found itself under enormous pressure from its black African allies, even though they were capitalists, some of them, not to reward Somalia because it was regarded as a flagrant violator of Ethiopia's borders. And U.S. needs more than oil. It's in a dither between the devil and the deep blue. It needs the cobalt, the minerals that I mentioned to you yesterday from these black nations, as well as the oil from Saudi Arabia. So it is really being put between the pressure mill as to what aid and assistance is going to give these days. Anyway, the nations of Africa regarded Somalia as a flagrant violator of Ethiopia's sovereign borders. Pro-Western Kenya, another neighbor fearing Somalia's territorial ambitions, was particularly insistent that the Carter administration reject Somalia's request for military assistance. Poor Carter will be sorry he ever saw the presidency. The Malaysian, the special Saudi Arabian relationship is deepening and depending over the lack of a strong U.S. response to the expanding Soviet-Cuban presence in the Red Sea region. It is exacerbated as the number of Cuban troops increases just across the strategic waterway in Ethiopia's northern war-torn Eritrea province. It is in principle a threat to the independence and security of our region and directly a threat to the independence and security of our country, remarked Prince Saud. What conceivable basis would they have for intervening in that area? He said of the Cuban and Soviet assistance for the liberation of Ethiopia. For the Saudis, the primary issue at stake in Ethiopia is not the preservation of its territorial integrity against a separatist movement, which is the view most black African nations hold and have impressed on the Carter administration. Rather, the Saudis are concerned about the massive intervention of the Soviet Union on the internal affairs of liberation of an African country, this time one that could easily serve as a springboard for socialism into the Arabian Peninsula. Of course, we know, Saudi, you're worried about, you're going to have to share some of the billions and billions that you're sitting on in your royal throne. As a first step, the Saudis clearly want the Carter administration to step up its military assistance to moderate African and Arab countries. That's been done this morning. With Soviet-backed neighbors such as Kenya, Zaire, and Sudan. If threatened countries are left alone, then there is no hope, said Prince Saud. If they are not given arms, even when they want to fight, if they're not given the opportunity to do so, then we are really in a hopeless situation. Even the Saud admitted that he felt that these threatening situations could bring confrontation between the Soviet Union and USA and bring nuclear war. But he said nuclear war would be preferable than to living under atheistic communism, godless communism. The Saudis seem to be convinced that the next arena for a major Soviet intervention will be Southern Africa. Saudi Arabia has just agreed to open an embassy in the Zambian capital of Lusaka and will probably provide financial assistance to that economically hard-pressed country if it will yield to Saudi Arabian influence. Saudi Arabia is also providing millions of dollars to the special $12 billion Arab fund in support of the Rhodesian fascist white nationalistic government, apparently hoping to offset Soviet and Cuban influence inside the Patriotic Front. There are also reports in Salisbury that Arab money is going to the new biracial Rhodesian government, although it is not clear which countries are supplying it. Saudis are also financing Sudanese and Egyptian arms purchases in the West. The Moroccan fascist and Mauritanian war against the Soviet-backed Polisario liberation movement, socialism in the old Spanish Sahara. They're also backing pro-Western African states like Zaire that are now in desperate financial straits. In fact, there's an emergency meeting being called at this very moment in Brussels discussing how to save Zaire when it has a dictator put in by U.S. imperialism and its renegades with no backing from the people. That's the commentary on Saudi Arabia. You have to glean between capitalist views to see how much is really true. FBI files also have brought to light that the second black leader, Roy Wilkins, was involved with the FBI in an effort to discredit and destroy the late Martin Luther King. Black leaders, apologist establishment black Uncle Tom leaders, are saying this is the ghost of Hooverism. Bring out the fact that these black leaders, such as the head of that Chicago-based group, I've forgotten his name, and Wilkins, are involved in actually were involved. But the FBI memo had nothing to gain. It clearly indicates who these black leaders talked to. And Roy Wilkins was one of the ones that met trying to get Dr. King removed from the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. We've always been besieged by this kind of thing. As you know, Coretta King has called for the abolition of the FBI for the monstrous acts committed against her husband. She said she continues to be haunted by the monstrous acts of the FBI, and the nation should consider abolishing the agency and replacing it with a law enforcement agency responsible directly to the people and respects personal freedom. She's a dreamer, but she does not deny that Roy Wilkins did conspire with the FBI, head of the NAACP, most prestigious black man in the world, along with that head of PUSH in Chicago, most popular black Uncle Tom they're using to go through the schools and tell all of our black children to be quiet and be good and be kind and like your teacher. I can't think of his name. He eludes me so much. You perhaps remember him. He heads Operation PUSH, sickeningly disgusting sellouts that have made fascism so vividly real in USA because we have our own sellouts amongst our ranks who would do a good man in like Dr. Martin Luther King. Thus ends the news and commentary for this Sunday. I love you very much. Please produce around your homes all kinds of foods in your leisure moments. Beautify. We have guests coming. We have news group coming from that are friendly from Guyana. And we want to have everything in the best order. Cut weeds down wherever you can and pick up debris. Each one be responsible. Or it will show in what we are able to afford you in supplies of free movies and extra foods, extra fruits and meats. Please, it's in your own interest to protect the people's property and to pick up debris around you and not waste food. Watch those that do and bring them to our attention so we can correct them before you have caused someone not to be saved. The blood of our people are on your hands every time you waste food, every time you break something, every time you neglect this people's property. You are killing someone. Think about it. Much love.